Achieving the highest level of performance is a critical path to success for leaders, teams, and businesses. It's more than a mindset, it's a skill set. Arizona Coaching and Consulting helps individuals, leaders, teams, and companies develop the skill set necessary to achieve enhanced levels of performance. Learn more about Arizona Coaching and Consulting capabilities, training programs, and coaching products at www.azc3.com or call 480-518-7757. Arizona Coaching and Consulting, the Performance Business Advisors.
And indeed, we have the leader of Arizona Coaching and Consulting here on the line now. Good morning, Lynn. How are you today?
Good morning. It's good to talk to you.
As always, well, we teed you up. Challenging the status quo, which we know comes easy for women to charge like us, but this time you want to talk about your own status quo, right?
Correct. So I started thinking about this the other day as you and I get ready for our radio show, and I thought, you know, we're coming into the end of the year, and this is when annual performance appraisals and, you know, potential determinations are made.
Mm-hmm.
And leaders throughout the entire organization will be getting a lot of feedback. They'll get it from above, from their peers, and from their teams, especially if they're a culture who likes to do 360 feedback, which is from all of those different levels. And when you and I have worked through companies, one thing we've talked a lot about is performance leaders and those who really can rise to an organization not only hear feedback, they do something with it. So you know how it goes. Many times we'll get some rationalization. You know what I call it, the great rationalization process, which is, well, that's the way I am and I'm comfortable with it. Or,
well, that was the way I was trained. It worked in the past. It can serve me well again.
That guy doesn't like me, or, you know, my boss and I don't have a rapport. And that's all external. It's all rationalizing why we're getting the feedback. And no matter what the relationship is with a person, there's probably some kernel of truth. There's probably a real opportunity to hear what people are saying, because there's always that what I intend for people to see or hear, and then what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So for performance leadership, it really starts from, once again, this insight. And I'm not suggesting that reading books isn't good. But, you know, I'm always for, as you know, getting down into the core and working on yourself. So reading books and getting theories is all great. But my interest always is, so what does that mean for you or your organization or your business? Not just the theory, but how does it make a difference? So this internal insight, and we've talked about this before, but it's really the ability to acknowledge what's being said and then to look for ways to make adjustments or refinements. I'm sure you've gotten this too. You know, people will say to me, you know, Lynn, I've been doing this job. I've been in a senior level for 25 years. I can't really change. And, you know, my feedback is pretty consistent, which is it's not about changing, because that would kind of go on the assumption that the core values, beliefs, competencies are not correct. They are. It's about refinement and enhancement. It's really about taking what you have and hearing how it is communicated or manifests itself with others and figuring out ways to be more effective and impactful.
Well, I think we can step back just a quick second. This idea of 360 feedback, you know, let's be careful that many times if we had to construct the list of people who we'd like to get feedback from, it might be the same old, same old. The folks that really know us well, that we've had a long-standing relationship with, maybe with a few. But really what we're talking about is how you get the broadest cross-section of feedback so that you can understand how you, you know, kind of get out of your own skin, right, Lynn? It's the idea of how do people see you, not you see just yourself.
Right. And then it's, once again, absolutely, it's closing the gap between how I believe I come across and who I believe I am versus how do people see me and how do I impact them. That's the opportunity gap. That's where you want to start working to say, but I'm really not like that. If you hear yourself saying that, or, you know, why does a person believe that? It's a gap. And the work comes in closing the gap, not in, you know, from a manufacturing background, which you can relate to, not doing rework.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's about refinement. It's not starting over and saying, let's throw this out and remake it. It's saying, let's take these core qualities, values, intentions, and let's make sure that you close the gap between who you believe you are and how others describe you. So you're absolutely right. The 360, the biggest challenge is to say, I think I'm going to go ask these people who I didn't have the best experience with, or where I didn't think it went the most productively. And I want to find out what that gap is. And that's where the performance mindset comes from, which is, of course we have good traits and qualities. That's how we get there. But is the work ever really done? If you want to stay on the performance edge and move through an organization, or stay in the organization. So many of us in leadership, and I'm sure I've done it, I never want to exclude myself from these observations, is we like to give feedback to others and, you know, help them, you know, work on the areas they need to work on. This self-reflection requires a whole different amount of energy and really openness. So it's a challenge.
Well, and in fact, many times, it sure does, and in fact, many times, it's not to any framework that you may have predicted you'd get the feedback on as well. I mean, you may be really expert as you've grown and cultivated and mentored, coached others. In your own mind, you've got this mental model of 15 areas. Just pull it out of the hat. And then when you get feedback from others, though, they might not map into some of those 15 areas. So it kind of opened your mind that the criteria by which we give feedback is pretty, pretty broad.
Yes, absolutely. And which really kind of takes us to the next part. So what happens when you get the feedback? And how do you challenge your own status quo? And I am fascinated with some of the discussions I have with leaders throughout many levels in an organization, where they'll get feedback that'll say, you need to work on your executive presence, or you need to be more, you need to be a better team player. And what does that mean?
Right.
So the challenge for the individual when they're getting the feedback is not only to hear it and say, look, I'm hearing a gap, because that's not my intention, is to really, you know, kind of move back and say, what does that mean? And not leave that performance discussion without asking the questions that say, what does that look like?
I was going to say, in
when
fact,
I'm doing that.
Exactly. Can you tell me an item-specific incidence, or tell me a story when I would have done that, so I can give legs to what it is you're offering to me? And wouldn't we even say that's one of the biggest challenges for many people? If you only get feedback once a year, that quite often the examples that get pulled upon aren't as alive with you as if you had gotten that feedback right after something happened.
Well, exactly. And probably one of the most challenging areas, and once again, you and I work in corporations, many different corporations, is that, and this is ironic to me, we don't spend a lot of time in organizations working on how to give feedback.
Right. We just assume you can do it.
Yeah. It's not what you believe or put a value on. It's only what you see and hear, so that you can describe to the person, which will be topic of our next radio show, exactly how you become more effective in doing that. So when I talk to senior leaders, they say, well, they want me to work on my executive presence. Well, there are attributes around that. We've talked about it. But once again, well, what does that mean to you? What would you do differently? They're rather perplexed. So now we're in this, we want to challenge the status quo. We're in this moment of having real good conversations around performance. Ask the feedback questions. Ask the clarifying questions that really impress upon you, okay, so when I'm doing this behavior or when I'm communicating in this way, it can be perceived as something other than what I intend.
And part of that, if you think of an example, I can recall once I got feedback from my direct reports that I did not recognize and reward people sufficiently. And I thought about that, and I said, now, where's this coming from? And then I started to dawn on me that, you know, how I like to be recognized and rewarded isn't necessarily how the people I have stewardship over like to. I was always one of those self-starters. I didn't need a whole lot of stroking. You know, I'm already off to the next thing, anything, anyway, after you just finish the one. But to also learn as a leader to appreciate that, indeed, people in my group needed more of the constant thank yous or the spot-on recognition, the movie tickets, as opposed to the annual performance, you know, bonuses and the like. And it wasn't that I was thinking I was being unappreciative, but I wasn't being or manifesting that as often. And boy, to get that gem as a feedback, it was a gift to me that I could turn around and offer then to others.
Exactly. So then the question becomes, what is it that you want me to do? Because to your point, it could be, you know what, you don't have to recognize me in front of groups, but send me a note.
Right.
Somebody else might say, I do want that public recognition. So you begin to become more self-aware of the things that you're doing that are effective or not effective. Another part that I like, and I use this a lot, is be the dog, not the tail. All right? So if you want to be the one wagging the tail versus being wagged, you have to take responsibility for your own behavior and acknowledge that any of us as individuals are indeed empowered to make adjustments or change. We truly are. All right? So at times, once again, we'll have this attitude of, well, you know, this boss doesn't like me. How am I going to survive? They're going to give me bad reviews. It's like, wrong focus. This boss and I see the world differently. Okay. What can I do to be more effective working with this boss so that I can have a better opportunity for them to see what I can and can't do? See, so it's a refocus. It's coming back in and saying, the only behavior you can change is whose?
Your own, exactly.
Right. And even though we know that intellectually, emotionally, you have to make that connection too. Right? And so I believe that you can be very intentional about this and that you actually develop a leadership plan that says, I've gotten a lot of feedback. Once again, I don't look at it as not doing or not having. These are gaps. These are gaps from the way I want to be seen versus the way people are seeing me. And I want to be very intentional about what things do I need to do to begin to change these perceptions. And there are tremendous opportunities, even to the point of maybe I need to go to a certification program. Maybe I need to show that I'm still learning, whatever it is. Or I need to go work on my interpersonal skills because I'm really not delivering the way I want to. The most dangerous thing I believe we can do, I do think it's dangerous, this is why careers get interrupted, is to rationalize it and say, but I understand why. I'm not like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the point.
That's how people find you, then that's how you are.
Yeah, that's right. So it's this gap analysis, even from a leadership standpoint, and then what I'm going to do about it. That's the opportunity.
And I think, you know, Lynn, you would also say this isn't about just you singularly doing a lot of this on your own. That's part of the opportunity to engage with the supervisor that's giving you the feedback or is accountable to do your annual appraisal. But then likewise, what peers you might rely upon, or I know the example I use in myself of having gotten that feedback that I don't give enough sufficient recognition, that I said to my direct reports, would you guys help me with this? And in fact, let's co-create a budget or a new process that can bring some structure to help remind me that I want to be a steward of this. And once you engage a broader group of people, it made it a lot more comfortable for me and definitely a learning experience that opened my eyes beyond where I was already stuck.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you mentioned your point of feedback. I can remember one that was, you know, you need to communicate more clearly because we don't quite get where you're going. And I find that very perplexing because my operating style is, it's so obvious. Yeah, to me, right?
Right.
The message coming to me was, you're moving quickly. We like the vision, but we don't quite get all the pieces of it. So where things seem so clear to me, they were not to others. So I had to do two things. One was figure out how to be more consistent and more succinct in communicating that message. And then I also got somebody on my staff who was very good, who was aligned with me completely, and when I couldn't be there on site, could make sure that the message and the vision stayed pretty consistent. Because I was concerned that we had big things, you know, to accomplish as a team or as a business, and I couldn't be there all the time. Mm-hmm. So I needed to make sure I had alignment with others so that that work could continue when I wasn't there. Now, that was very hard for me because I spent a lot of time in sales, and you're always communicating, right?
Sure, and you're thinking, what do you mean I don't communicate? I'm a master
That's
communicator.
Right.
In fact, I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't been. But you're right, the context becomes different when you're running a full operation.
Ah, that's right. Now I got to communicate a vision, the mission, the actual steps to get there, the changes, versus where I was, I would say, very effective at another level. So that's the other thing I'd like to leave as a thought with individuals, which is when you move to an organization, what got you there won't keep you there, and it won't move you forward. You have to keep doing this internal review, taking the feedback. Even if you believe that the person doesn't care about you, there is probably very good observations that will help you close these leadership gaps between the intention and then the experience that people are having, so that you can, you just keep driving to, you know what, if this is what I need to do, if I need to work in this area, that's okay. It's just going to make me better. Rather than, it's not a deficiency, it's an observation.
You know, Lynn, you raised a very good point earlier on, and that is the whole gift of being able to give people feedback. That a lot of us, I know you and I both step into organizations when we're trying to provide coaching for supervisors as they coach others. And one of the biggest challenges I have found is that people don't know how to give good constructive feedback that's really actionable. And so how you can break this down into really tangible things. It's one thing to accept the feedback, but then to put it into action. So how could I go manifest, Zara, that I could be more mindful of people's feelings, or that I need to shore up problems or open people up so we prevent the problems before they happen, those type of steps.
And that's what I believe is part of the leadership plan. This is what I do today. This is what I want to do in the future. And we talked about this personal brand before, right? Mm-hmm. All these attributes that we have as a leader and the ones we want to add. So we have today, then we want to complement or add to, starts to give us a skill set to move forward in the directions and starts to answer the how and where and when and why. It's really us as leaders, or we as leaders, who have to make the shift. Not to look at the organization and say, well, you need to figure it out.
And tell me right? what to do, right?
Correct.
Well, the other thing, I think we should just open our mind a bit here for our listeners, that what Lynn and I are talking about is not just performance reviews and feedback for people who indeed are stewards of a lot of other people, you know, the classic view of leadership. But I guarantee you, every listener here has got some area of expertise, a core role within the organization that makes them the go-to person. Or if you don't feel you're in there, you better get there, because that's how you continue to add value. So with that is how everybody, regardless of what level you're in the organization or how broad you might think your impact is, how could I get better at doing what I do?
Right. And thereby making a greater contribution to my team, my organization, the business. And the better that we develop ourselves, you know, there's this whole philosophy that says enthusiasm is a strategy. Hmm. And so the enthusiasm for working on ourselves, for getting better, can be contagious. And once you get a learning organization and get people out of the I want to defend against this feedback, saying what is really in here for me that will help me continue to be productive, or if I want to move through the organization, move up, the mindset starts to drive performance. So I'm just going to encourage everybody, look at feedback as just information and figure out if you can or want to, because there has to be a commitment to really put a plan in place to say, I think if I get better in this area, it's going to be more productive for all of us. It's going to be a better environment, and we're going to have better results.
And I would suggest for some people, too, it might be a little bit unnerving to think you're going to do that in the work context, but one place you can start is if you are involved in activities outside the workplace, community affairs or philanthropy that you do, contributing time to your children's school or committees that you're on, volunteer work, is to ask feedback from those in that environment, too, to build your muscle then on how to go to apply and how you can reshape yourself.
Absolutely. And to tie into that, I would also add that the company doesn't need to do it for you or provide it. If you don't see something come from the company and you believe, for instance, I could be more effective if I got a Six Sigma green belt, then you should do that. Because you have to invest in yourself as well as expect the company to invest in its resources.
Well, in fact, I think you would even say the title, this challenging the status quo your own, means you got to start first. This shouldn't be
Absolutely.
Just when your supervisor asks you to go and fill out a form to do your own self-assessment. It's something you can do any time of year.
Absolutely. That's exactly what this whole conversation is about. What am I hearing? Where is it coming from? What can I do with it? And it's not what can the company do for me to help me. It's what can I do with it, and how am I going to drive a greater performance mindset and thereby greater performance within the organization as a leader? And that's not, notice I didn't say if you're a VP or director. Leaders are throughout organizations. They're people who make things happen. This is a time of year to get ready and start thinking about how am I going to challenge myself to close these gaps.
Mm-hmm. I remember the very first performance review that I was given when I joined a company full-time, and that supervisor spent 2 hours debriefing with me. And it had such an impact on me because he gave me item-specific feedback, like you suggested, Lynn, with the stories. I remember the time that you did this or that we saw that happen. And, to this day, some 30 years later when I'm doing performance review, I always seem to feel like he's sitting on my shoulder. And in some regard, I'm saying, doggone you, Doug, you spent 2 hours. I feel compelled to do the same. But for those of you that are indeed the stewards of younger individuals in their careers, doing it right now early for them will allow them to continue that same methodology for others as their career progresses.
Yes, right. And please, for all the listeners, when you go into a performance review, make sure that you're clear on what you believe you've done well and areas you want to work on. Don't go into the performance review without that really, thought through and written down, so that you are not a passive receiver
Exactly.
of feedback, but that you are also a driver. You're a participant in how your performance is viewed.
Absolutely. Well said. Well, Lynn Moran from Arizona Coaching and Consulting, thanks for joining us, challenging the status quo, your own. You can learn more about Lynn's work at azc3.com and contact her as well at 480-518-7757. Lynn, thanks a lot, and we'll catch up with you next month.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Always a pleasure.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.